took the booty by Institute, and then we were going to go to New York for evangelism. The organization I was with asked me, they had a seminar on their evangelism in Chicago, and they asked me to talk to a kid who was also a Bible college student, but not graduating. And they asked me to talk to them, because talk to him because he wanted to be part of the organization. And so they asked me to interview him. And I'm thinking to myself, now you have to understand the background of this. Chicago in June can be very hot. And Chicago in June can get very muddy. We're doing 3 weeks of open air evangelism, and they asked, and this fellow was a part of that, and we'd be riding in vans, and we'd be walking to the downtown Newberry to do open air. This fellow had a problem. And the problem that he had was body odor. His problem was, body odor. It was really bad. And I think it's kind of funny to talk about this kind of thing, but he really had bad body odor. And he really did. I mean, you're sitting next to him in the van. Nobody wanted to do it. Nobody wanted to sit next to him because it was really hard to take. So they wanted me at the end of the seminar and talk to him about him coming on to staff and stuff. And they also wanted me to address the issue of his body odor with him. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you asking me? Why are you asking me to do this? So I'm thinking, all we want you to do is you go and talk to him, So, so what I did was I met in the chapel of the Culbertson Hall, which is a men's dormitory, 15, 16 floors or something. And they had a chapel there. And so I sat down with him, just he and I in the small little chapel. And I sat with him and I said, I'm thinking, how am I going to bridge this, age thing? How do you do this? And so I said to him, tell me your testimony. Tell me how you got saved. And he told me, he was telling me how he was raised in a Christian home and how his parents had talked to him about Christ, but he had never trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And then as he became a teenager, he was drafted to go to Vietnam. He was in the United States Army. They drafted him into the Army, and he went to Vietnam. And while in Vietnam, he was just a regular soldier, an infantryman. While a soldier there, his platoon, I believe, or his battalion or whatever, got in a firefight with the Viet Cong. Actually, it was with the North Vietnamese Regulars, which is a regular army type, not guerrilla, So he was in a firefight with them, his area, whether it was platoon or whatever, and he said that it was the force was almost overwhelming. Their force was almost overwhelming. They felt that maybe they would be overwhelmed. And he said that he was in charge of a radio man to protect the radio man. And as there were bullets were flying all over the place, the radio man was behind him, and there was a crater from some mortar, I guess. And he took the radio man and he shoved the radio man into the hole. And the radio man went down, and all of a sudden his arm, he said, this fellow that I'm talking to, his arm, boom! He thought his arm was gone. He thought his arm was completely gone. And he had his M16 in his left hand, and he flipped it on to spray. And he was firing like crazy. And he thought, the only survival that happens, he falls backwards. Still facing down, he falls backwards onto the radio man into this hole. And he fully expected them to come and wait. this, and it's, I'd like us to look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1, because in this psalm, you know, we have six verses, a short psalm, six verses, and you probably have it memorized. I know that Katie probably has, you know, this totally memorized, right, Katie? Anyway, probably has it totally memorized, and you know, it's really amazing. She actually pays attention when people speak. It's just amazing to me. I really appreciate it very, very much. I spoke last week. Was it last week? Last week about really. She's real quick. She's really quick. She just sent me today, and it was pretty good. I really appreciate it. But when you look at the Psalm, six verses, we're just going to deal with the first three. The six verses go like this. In Psalm 1, I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Might be different in yours. Just follow along as best you can. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night. And he shall be planted, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Young godly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, young godly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We're going to deal with the first three, because when we look at the first three verses, we see three marks of a fruitful Christian life. Three marks of a fruitful life. And that God shows us. And what are these marks? God shows us in verse 1 the mark of a right posture. And in verse 2, we see the mark of a rich program. And in verse 3, we see the mark of a resultant prosperity. So when we look at this, we look at the rich, the right posture, you know. for years, sit up straight. You know, that's what people would say. Stand up straight. No slouching. You ever get that kind of stuff? You never got to get that kind of stuff. I did. Stand up straight, you know, and this kind of thing. And we're talking about a right posture. And notice what he's going to say to us. He's going to talk to us about a right posture in terms of his walking, standing, and sitting. Walking, standing, and sitting. And I like the way this is approached. He gives us a negative approach to get a positive result. Notice what he says. He says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And so we look at this and we say, blessed is the man. And the word blessed in the Hebrew, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, I think it's in Aramaic too. But the Hebrew there, it means ashir. Does that sound, make me sound like I really know Hebrew? No. Ashir. And it means, oh, how very happy. Think about that. Oh, how very happy. What are the things in your life that make you happy? I mean, what are the things that make you happy? Well, this is exactly what he's about to tell us. Oh, how very happy. And blessed is the man. And this is the person, really. Blessed is the man. And notice he's going to talk about, he's going to say, walk not. He's going to say, stand not, nor stand. Nor sit. And so he's going to tell, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what is that? Walking, I think if you really wanted to get a good look-see at what it means to walk, I think of a New Yorker. You ever see a New Yorker? Have you ever been to New York at all? Here's how a New Yorker walks, especially a woman with a purse. Got the purse right here.
looking around. They're going straight for the subway. They're going straight for the trains. They're going straight for the public transportation. And I remember following a lady one time, and I said, "Hey, just wanted to let you know Jesus loved you." She didn't even look at me. I didn't even think. And so I walked with her. I said, "I exist. I'm here. I really do exist. I am here. And Jesus still loves you." You know, that didn't do anything. She just totally ignored me, which is understandable. And you look at this walk not. And this is the way the word walk is used. It means to walk assiduously, carefully, perseveringly. And this is how we're not to walk, after the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. We're not to walk after the counsel of the ungodly. And that is exactly what we're not to do. We're not to walk after the counsel of the ungodly. Now, who's the ungodly? So we get a lot of advice, Dr. Phil, Oprah, I don't know, Dr. Oz, he's the big one now, you know, the magazine. That's just amazing. My wife gets that magazine. I'm just thinking, Dr. Oz, maybe you actually paid for this part? I mean, you're going to get the magazine? I mean, you know, this guy, you know, drink this shake and you'll live forever, you know, and have this pill and you'll have no wrinkles. I mean, really, life is good, right? For him, because he's making a promo. You know? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the counsel, the advice of the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? Well, I want to say, I think that when we talk about the counsel or the advice, isn't it amazing what people will follow and what people will ignore? People will follow Dr. Phil. People will follow Dr. Oz. Mm-hmm. And they'll ignore this. This is the greatest book on the planet ever. And they'll ignore it. It's just not educational. But Dr. Oz is a doctor. I mean, really, this is superstitious. I mean, this is no way. I mean, old and decrepit, you know, that's right. Dr. Oz defined himself old and decrepit. And so Dr. Phil and Oprah and all these kind of people are giving us the advice. I'm not saying these guys don't have anything to say, don't have any good advice at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is the idea of following the advice or the counsel of an ungodly person. We do it a lot. We do a lot. We don't come to the God of the universe who knows exactly how to run everything. And it's amazing. Like you were talking, right, about the radios, you know. The question is, when I think of doing something, or I'm acting, you know, I'm building, flipping houses, or you know, making a house, or renovating a house, or whatever, how am I praying about this? How am I, you know, LEDs and am I praying about it? Am I asking God to give me wisdom in how to do that? Lord God, Lord, show me. And His Word is going to be very clear on these things. Some of these things really is. And so He will give us principles about things too as well. And it's not indirectly, you know, mitre this corner this way. I don't see that in the Bible. You know, mitre at a 45 degree for a door again, you know. I will see that. Maybe it's in Exodus with the tabernacle or something. I don't know. But I'm looking at it. I'm thinking the Lord will give me advice and give me wisdom regarding how to live. And I want to seek His face first. So blessed, oh how very happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. We take a lot of advice from people. And it's not, some of that advice is no good. I was talking to a girl one time. This is like tragic to me. I was talking to a young lady one time, and after, you know, trying to talk to her and minister to her. And I don't know, I've had a couple of experiences like this. in. Now, I'm tall, but as I walk in, he's got a drop ceiling. And below his drop ceiling, this much blue and cigarette smoke. Amazing. And I walk in, and I sit down, and I ignore that because I don't believe he's born again. Christian is like one of my jobs, consultation about Christ and so on. I don't want to do that. And so I go in there and we talk. We don't even go to lunch. He just wants to talk. He says, I just need somebody to talk to. This guy's a clinical psychologist. He's charging $150 for the initial fee and then $95 an hour. And he wants me to talk to him. So I told him, I said, I believe psychology is a Christian heresy. And he looked at me and he said, I agree with you. Somebody to talk to, this guy. And he's got two ashtrays on his wheelchair, and they're full. And the guy's a chain smoker. And his specialty is addictions. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is really weird. So we talk in, and I find out that we go to this church that the man's basically good, everybody's basically good, all this kind of stuff, which is not biblical, you know. And he's advising his patients and all this kind of thing, right? A year later, he calls me up and says, Chris, I have a patient and I want you to talk to her. Okay. All right. So this girl, I come into the office. There, she's already there. And she is so medicated. She can hardly... She's just like this. She's like a zombie. Slits in her eyes. Mouth is all crusted. Eyelids are all crusted from, I don't know. And she is hurting so bad. A little background on her was that she was divorced from her husband, and the husband got custody of the kids, and she just didn't know how to handle it. She professed to be a born-again believer, and she was just devastated. Just devastated. And I talked to her, and I didn't even know if I got through to her because I wasn't getting very much response because she was so medicated. And I think to myself, man, where's the counsel? Where's the ministry that can be given to this woman? To trust God and turn to Him and it's a conscious decision. 2 years later, I find out Charles broke both legs in an automobile accident. Now, if you're a paraplegic, and the way he became a paraplegic was in an automobile accident. And now, if you have no use of your legs and you're a paraplegic, you have and you break your legs. It is really difficult because you can't move. I mean, there's no, he's already paralyzed. And it's very difficult for these things to heal. So I go visit him in the hospital and I say, how you doing, Chuck? We talk a little bit. I said, hey, Chuck, whatever happened to that girl? I never got a follow-up. You never told me what happened to her. He goes, oh, that girl. He's been laying in bed with his legs of traction and everything. I said, yeah, what happened to the girl? He goes, oh, that's right. German.
Man, it's depressing. So they went around all these drugs. It comes to find out that she's not manic depressive. But they misdiagnosed her that she had epilepsy. And they put her on all these other drugs. And I'm thinking to myself, that can happen. I mean, this is a thing that happens. But I mean, why do I get to talk to these folks? And I think to myself, you know, in terms of our mental health and in terms of our mind health and everything, blessed is the man that walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. You know, notice the next phrase. Notice what he says. Blessed is the man that walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. You know, today, let me just say one thing. Today, I'm a little older, maybe a little older. I don't know if I'm older than Dan, but I'm just a little older, but I'm finding out that the world is telling us, take this pill, you'll be happy. Take this pill, you'll have a great sex life. Take this pill, you'll do this. Take this pill, you'll have that. Take it, right? You see those pills on, I mean, those advertisements for all this kind of stuff. Move up, move down. You want to calm, you want to can't sleep, and this, you know. You take all these different things, right? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, this is exactly what almost everybody worked with me all over again. And if you know about that book by Bradbury, and you know about the movie, you've seen the movie, it's Jeremiah 451. That's what they were doing. Boot up, you know, why did they think it's all a bright day, etc. That's not it. It's not it. That's not the world. I mean, that's not what we should be doing. That's what the world is telling us. Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly. And so, and then notice what else it says. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. This way of standing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. You ever see somebody standing with you know, they're really. It's like a kid that was sent to the corner. You go to the corner, stand in the corner, right? They're sitting in the corner. They have a chair in front of his head. And he looks at the teacher and he goes, I may be sitting in the corner. I may be sitting in the corner, but I'm standing up on the inside. And that's how people are sometimes, you know. They're just rebellious. And we stand in the way of sinners. I want to ask you a question. And let's get serious about this, okay? I want to ask you a question. How much TV do you watch? And honestly, how much TV do you follow in terms of their advice? How much? As opposed to the Word, how much? I'm serious. And you can only answer that. I can only answer it for myself, and you can only answer it for yourself. But how much? How much is the Word in your life? This, if it's minimal, you know, talking to people, and you can maybe jot this down. If you've ever counseled anybody about, you know, oh, I just need your help, and you talk to me, you know, and sometimes it's really nasty. Sometimes it's really, you know, I've got a bad problem and all this kind of stuff. And it seems endless, you know, people just dump on it and they go, here's the problem. Here's the main problem, and I thought of this. It just occurred to me. Somebody else said it, and then it occurred to me when I was counseling somebody. They said to me, what do you think about this person? I got this problem, I got that. I asked them this question. I said, can I ask you a question? They said, sure. I said, how's your quiet time? How's your personal quiet time? No wonder we got problems. No wonder we have situations.
trite thing to say, I'll pray about it. It shouldn't be trite. It should be a dead dog reckoning for us in the sense that we say, I will pray about it, and we do pray about it. And we ask the Lord. And we say, God, guide. God, I'm going to be dependent on you. I want to trust you. What does your word have to say regarding this? Show me what your word says. Help me. Talk to me through your word. The lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That's exactly what Psalm 119:105 says. Have it in our lives. The Lord will bring it back to your mind and teach you and guide you, even on the spot, showing you what you should do. It's really weird, because I have to tell you this, because this is going to seem kind of strange, but one time I went into the hospital for AFib situation. I almost had no pulse. I mean, it was like so erratic, and I thought, man, I'm having a heart attack. Maybe. If you've ever had AFib, you don't want AFib. You don't want to trust me, okay? Because you're going, I feel really goofy, you feel like you can pass out, you know, your heart is so erratic, it's so weird. And those of you who have had AFib, and we can talk about this later, caffeine, MSG, all this kind of stuff can kick it in. Aspartame can kick that stuff in. Well, when you're young, it doesn't happen. But let me tell you, when you get a little older, it happens, right? So I'm in this, and I'm telling Barb, I better go to the hospital. I better go to Henry Ford on 19 Mile. Let's go. I've got to go. It's like 2 in the morning. And I'm up, and it wouldn't correct. It was there for a long time. And I was going to go to the hospital, and I think it's over. And as I'm getting dressed, a verse came right to my mind. And I said, Lord, this is not under death. Right to my mind, this is not under death. I'm glad he said that, you know. I'm glad the Lord spoke to my heart, taking his word and driving it to my heart and to my mind. This is not under death. Thank you. But I still was nervous. And not trusting what God was saying. And nor standing in the way of sinners. And then notice what else he says in verse 1. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The seat here is the supremacy. You ever hear people talk about how they sit in the Bible? They sit at the gate. They sit at the gate. This is the gate is the sign of supremacy. It's where the elders of the city sit. It's where, it's sitting at the gate. Now notice this. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't hang with those who are scornful. Scornful, scorners, mockers, to deride and to mock anyone, a mocker, a scoffer, a scorner, who sits there and sets it on and scoffs at the most sacred precepts and duties of religion and morals. They scorn. They laugh at those things. You're a Bible thumper, or you're one of those born again people. Look at I want you to know something. A lot of unsaved people, a lot of the world, have a higher standard of Christianity than we do. You call yourself a Christian and you said that? You call yourself a Christian and you did that? They have this incredible view, and we sometimes follow the scorner. We mock at the sacred principles of man. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But then you see a contrast in conjunction. Look at verse 2. It contrasts with what he just said. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. I have sworn off all chocolate because of the caffeine. It does me. It puts me in anger. And I don't like it. It does. But when I liked, when I was a chocoholic, I ate fantasy fudge. I'm telling you right now, I see fantasy fudge on the, I go crazy. It's
4 cups of sugar, 2 sticks of butter, marshmallow cream, and those little morsel things, you know. Oh, I'm telling you, right into a coma. You know, your pancreas, you know, insulin, you know, this is like, you know, coming out. I mean, you know, so Warren and I, my friend John and I, maybe just like blood for punishment. This is in younger days. My friend John and Warren and we made this stuff, and it was just, you know, we take a little pool and then I can still taste it. You know, take a bite, you know. I almost want to gargle with it, you know. I don't want to swallow it because the olfactories and the taste buds are just being, you know, this is so good, right? But then it's like we came to a half hour later because we'd be in a coma from this stuff. This was so powerful, so great. But I was just like, how we are to the light. His delight is in the law. When you read the Bible, and when you think about the Bible, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I think of, I was giving a test, and we had some students at this place called the Fellowship Deaconry. This is in New Jersey, and it's a farm, right? It's a farm. They had this building, a youth building, but they had this farm, right? And I'm looking out the window, and these guys are taking the test, and I'm watching these big cows come out. And they're going, and they're eating. I'm a city slicker type person. Now I live in the country, but I'm a city slicker. I'm watching this cow come out. He lowers his head ginormous. And they're her head, I guess that's how you would say it, right? Ginormous, and he just comes up like this, going, you know, the grass off the ground, didn't wash his clothes, nothing, you know, just ate it. What is this? I'm going to do this. Okay, sit down here, okay? He went like this, like this. We have to have some reflux, but grinding, and they're just going, oh man, you know, and they just do that, and that, I'm telling myself, that's exactly the word meditate. It is to meditate, but his delight is the long word, and he doth meditate, okay? And he chews the cup, that's what they call it, chewing the cup. And we think about it, we meditate, we look at it, we say it, we look at the word, we get the context, we literal historical grammatical hermeneutic, we get the right hermeneutic, but we think, we pray, we ask the Lord to apply it to our lives and minister to us, and we think about those things. And we just chew the cud, as it were. And this is what we're to do. We're to do this with the word of God. And so, but as the light is in the law of the Lord, and in his law about being meditated. And the word meditate also is like the bird chirping. Our Luther says it's like birds chirping. You ever see a bird chirp? Did they ever take a course on that?
Hey, Frank, you're not chirping. You didn't get the DVD series on Chirp My Way.
They just naturally do it. This is exactly what's going to happen when you start meditating on the Word of God. You'll start to talk about it. You'll start to meditate. As you meditate on it, you'll talk about it. And it'll be in your mind and in your heart day and night. And as the light, the light is in the law of the Lord, and in his law. Remember that this book, please understand something. This book is the Supreme Court from which there is no appeal.
This book is the final authority in your life of faith and practice. This book will do it. It will thrill your soul. It will do this. I was talking to somebody, and I'm getting a little bit, I gotta lose weight. But I don't want to lose weight when it comes to the Word of God. I want to get fat with that. I want it to be so that I want to exercise my faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But I want to exercise this, you know? And I want to continue to trust Him. As I continue to trust based off of His Word, I grow as a Christian. I want to do this. This is what I want. And this is where I really want to go. And notice what He says about us. You know, we meditate, we mutter about it, we think about it all the time. And notice what He says in verse 3. But he shall be like, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And the tree also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's just amazing. God will bless your socks right off if you just follow this. You just follow this. Happy. And it's not going to be based on what you're driving. And it's not going to be based on your looks. It's not going to be based on the product you put in your hand. You know? It's not going to be based off of money. It's not going to be based off of success. It's going to be based off of Him. He will bless your life. He will. We have this idea of success that the world tells us. So don't follow that idea of success. The success is when we yield to Him. If we trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we yield our lives to Him, and we follow His Word, happy is that person. And it's simple, but yet so profound. It is. It's simple, very simple. Leave the choices to Him. Leave the choices to Him. Leave it all up to Him. Follow what He wants you to do. And how do you know what He wants you to do? He tells you in His Word to guide you. We have a personal God. He's not some God just given principles. He's God. We have a God who will speak to our hearts and to our minds through His Word. And it will bless our socks right off. So forget wearing socks. Okay. So we look at this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. There's no such thing as dry rot in the Christian life. I've talked to a lot of people who said, ah, even Christians. It's a very difficult thing. I just feel so dry. We used to last year. Lady asked us to come and remove bushes, evergreen bushes in front of her house. She wanted something. I mean, these evergreen bushes hadn't been here for 30 years. At least, at the very least, right? No problem. No problem. We'll remove them. You want to pull the roots out and everything because you don't want these. You know, that's what you want to do, right? So, we're going like this, digging around, they're going to pop these little guys, right? Because they're about to be big. We couldn't pop those things out if our life depended. We had a 15-year dump truck in the driveway. We were laying rubber with a chain around the thing, hooked up to the hitch of this 15-year dump truck, big dump truck, and we were laying rubber, and that thing wasn't moving. It bent it, but it didn't move it. And it was really weird. We finally got, so we took an axe, and as we, tires were smoking, we took an axe, boom, they popped right out. You know why? Because it was a taproot that went so straight down on those. We cut all the peripheral roof with that taproot so straight down, so we could move it. Look at the test here. Look at what he says. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whatever, and bring forth its fruit in the season. Sleep also shall not wither, whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. We need to drop the taproot of our Christianity into the Word of God. We'll never be moved.
side roads that are real, how long before they turn brown? That's why they call them evergreens, you know. These things don't, you know, they just don't brown that fast. I mean, you know, how we cut the thing, or then throw it out after the season, right? It doesn't get that much, it's still green. We used to pull other greens out and put them in the pile. They were green for 3 weeks. I'm thinking to myself, wow. What we want to do is we want to drop our taproot into this book, and you'll never be. And your fruit of your life will not have any dry rot in any way, shape, or form. It will not wither. It will not do that. And whatever you do, the Lord will bless it, because you are trusting in Him. And I look at this and I say to myself, I want to do this. I really want to do this. I want God to really bless my life. I want God to really have control of my life. How about you? Seriously, how about you? Do you really want God to minister to your life? And, you know, we come in and we, all of us are carrying, listen, every one of us carry issues. And that's the situation today. We carry issues deep down inside. Isn't it about time we ask God to take those issues and we give them to Him? In fact, Psalm 37. Commit your way unto the Lord. Right? You know what that means? It literally means to roll it on Him. What is the thing that got you there? Roll it upon Him. Start today with the Lord. Start in Psalms. Start in the Gospel of John. Read His Word. Trust His Word. If we were paid to do it, all the thought, you know, we were paid to do it. There are. There was 10 bucks in the Bible every morning. You go, you know, the different part, you go, okay. You know? And you couldn't get it out of the Bible until you read two chapters or whatever. And then all of a sudden it would pop up. You know? You do it. It's amazing, isn't it? What is it better than money? More to be desired or than even know? Talking about the testimony, being much final. Either also than